John, really, the book of John. Children's church, yes. Okay, I forgot because the choir came on down by themselves. But yeah, children's church needs to go to the children's church. That's great to have all the children in the church. I'm going to begin with a passage of scripture that tells us the reason why John wrote his gospel. So if you will, stand and turn in your Bibles to John the 20th chapter, verses 30 and 31. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. John chose only 7 of his miracles. For the rest of the Gospels tell a lot more. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So this book of John is written for you to believe that he is exactly who he claims to be. Let's pray. Oh, gracious and loving Father, we thank you for John. We thank you for his book that reveals to us who Jesus really is. And so we thank you, Father, for that. We ask that you bless each heart for being here today and that you'll open up the hearts that need to be open to hear the gospel. For we ask it all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn back now, if you will, to the very first verse in John. Okay? John 1:1. Let me tell you a few things about John before we get into the passage of John. John here, that is the writer of Scripture, is not John the Baptist. This is another John. This is John, the brother of James, who is one of the disciples. And so John is going to be writing, and in a few minutes he's going to talk about John the Baptizer, but this is not John the Baptizer. This is John the disciple. Now his name, the Lord, that is Yahweh, is gracious. Yehoda is his Jewish name, but we understand it to be, of course, a transliteration to Jesus. But his name means Yah is gracious, okay? And so keep that in mind as you think about John. Now, the book of John, we call it a book. It was a scroll. There wasn't really books written until about 1500. But the scroll of John was written somewhere between 85 and 90 A.D., okay? John is probably on the Isle of Patmos. He was there for a number of years. He served as the pastor at Ephesus, if you remember, for 3 years. And because he would not bow down and worship the Caesar as God, because that was Caesar worship started during that time, and he would not do that. And so they sent him to imprison him in the Isle of Patmos, which was off the coast of Ephesus. And he was there for a number of years. And apparently it was during this time that he wrote the Gospel of John. 5 or 6 years later, he wrote the book of the Revelation. And somewhere in between, he wrote the 3 letters of John. And so this is where John was when he wrote this gospel. He is probably the oldest of all the disciples, okay? He was somewhere on the Isle of Patmos. I know he was 84 then when he first was there. So he lived to be probably 90-some, close to 100 years old. All the rest of the disciples were killed in all kinds of different ways, okay? They were shot with arrows, they were beheaded, and they had all kinds of things. But John was the only disciple that was allowed to live his entire life and die a natural death. Well, if you called it a natural death, I wouldn't call it a natural death. But anyway, that was who John is. And so this is the one who's writing this book. And he's a very educated man. Now, we don't think of the disciples as being very educated, but he's very educated in the Old Testament, in the Torah and the Tanakh, which was the Old Testament Bible. It's called the Tanakh. And the Torah, okay, is the first five books in your Bible, okay? Genesis, Exodus, you know what they are, okay? They were the books that Moses wrote. Okay, with, of course, God's help and God's influence, Moses was the one that is attributed to writing these first five books. Now, the Torah is translated in your Bible. The word Torah is in your Bible over 200 times, never translated as the word Torah. It's always translated as the word law. It is not law, okay? There are 613 laws in the Torah, but the Torah means teaching, okay? So remember that, teaching, okay? It's very important. Okay, now let's begin, if you will. Let's read the first five verses. Okay, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, that is the Word, was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or overcome it. Okay. Let's talk about that phrase that he uses. He uses exactly the same phrase as the very first book in your Bible. Okay. That's Genesis 1. Okay. And in Genesis 1, it uses the same phrase. In the beginning, God created. Okay. Now, that's a very neat little phrase. Now, in John, okay, John leaves out the, okay? He doesn't put the in it. He says, in beginning, God, in the original text. That's in the Greek, okay? It's left out. And he's been accused of not being very educated because he left it out. He should have known. Well, he left it out for a beginning. He left it out for a reason. Have you thought about the reason he left it out? Because there wasn't a beginning with God. So he simply says, in a beginning somewhere, we're out there, because there wasn't a beginning with God, because that's what he's saying, in beginning God. God is the word Elohim, okay? It's a plural word, okay? And so we can understand from that God has what? He's a Trinity. He's three persons in one. And John does it at the very beginning of his gospel. In the beginning, God, okay, in Genesis, God, Elohim, created. Now, the word created means to create from nothing, okay? It's a word that is used in the Hebrew, meaning it's bara, okay? And it's a word that means he created from nothing, because at the beginning, there wasn't anything. There wasn't a world, there wasn't anything except God. He's the only one that existed, okay? And so in the beginning, he had to create. Now there's another little word that follows that, which is the word et. It is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and it is the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet, okay? And it's not translated, okay? If it was translated, you would read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, okay? But it's not. They don't ever translate the little et, okay, in between that. And the reason they don't is because the Hebrew Jewish rabbis tell us that represents the Hebrew language. It's the first letter in the Hebrew language, and it's the last letter in the Hebrew language, okay? And there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So what is God going to do? How is he going to create? You know, He's going to speak it into existence, right? He speaks everything into existence. Well, what do you got to have if you're going to speak? You got to have a language. So he had to first create a language. God's language, whether you believe it or not, is Hebrew. It is. It's the most unique language that ever existed. Okay? And so the Hebrew language first had to be existed so he could now speak it in Hebrew and speak it into existence. And so that's what he did in Genesis. Okay? Now, he began with a word, okay, Bereshit. Okay? The second letter in the Hebrew alphabet is Ba. He begins with Ba. Okay? And so that's the letter he begins with. Now, in Hebrews 4, what does it tell us about the word? It says what? It was alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is active and alive, right? Now, do you believe that? It says the word is alive. Okay, is it? Do you really believe that? Come on, you believe that? Okay, now, let me give you a little thing that the rabbis teach, okay, out of the Midrash. They say that when God created that language and the first word was given in the Torah, which was the beginning of your Bible, the word, okay, it was the letter B. It's the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And so the little story says that the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which was the Aleph, came to God and said, wait a minute, why did you use the second letter to begin the Torah rather than me? Because I'm the first letter, okay, you follow that? Okay, this is the Aleph, okay, and so let's go back. Did you say the word lit was alive? Well, the Jews actually literally believe that Hebrew letter came to God. And God said, wait a minute. For one thing, there are a couple of reasons why I didn't use you. One of the reasons is that you are going to be the first letter in the Ten Commandments. So I have reserved you for that. That is the beginning of the Ten Commandments, and you are going to be the first letter there. But there's another reason why I didn't use you, and that is the ba value is 2. The Aleph only has a numerical value of 1, but the Aleph has a numerical value of 2, and he says, when I create, I'm going to create 2 worlds, not 1. I'm going to create the physical world, and I'm going to create the heavenly world, the spiritual world. So there's going to be 2 worlds created. That's the reason I used you as the first letter in the Torah rather than the first letter. Okay, now that's a little story, okay? You can believe that or not. It's kind of a neat little story. But that's what the Midrash tells us, little story. So let's go back now. Let's get back to Scripture, okay? Now it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, okay? He, and it notes as a he, okay, he was, that is the Word, was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, okay, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, it takes a break there, okay? There's a little parenthesis there, and that's verses 9 through 13. We're going to come back to it, but let's go now to 14, okay? And the Word, that's what he's talking about, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, who's it talking about? Who is the Word? Well, he identifies it on down here in a little later in the verse, but that's Christ, okay? Christ is the Word. You see, the first Word that came into existence was a written Word, okay? But that also was God. The written Word was also God. It's alive, okay? It was also God. It was also Christ, if you want to go right down to it, okay? But it was written Word. But what happened? The written word that God gave to the Hebrews, okay, to begin with, then it comes to us. The written word was broken. It was messed up by the priests who were the teacher, and so people were not learning the written word in the correct way. Now, the word Torah means teaching, okay? Teaching. The Torah taught people how they had to relate to God who created them, what they had to be, what they had to do, how they had to serve Him, and on and on and on, okay? But what happened was those things became corrupted as time went by. The priests began to add a bunch of more stuff to it, and it became totally corrupted. And so God had to do something else. So what did He do? He sent the living word, which was Christ, okay? Now, when Christ came on the earth, His task was to make right all of those things that were incorrect in the Torah. And I'm going to tell you something that maybe, I don't know whether I've told you this or not, but did you know that Jesus became flesh? Okay, that's what it said. It said the Word became flesh. Now, what is flesh? That's us. That's a human being. Now, do you know what the word for human being is in your Bible? It's Adam. Adam means human being. It is not a name, but it's used as a name, okay? It means human being. So, Jesus became what? Adam. He became Adam. He became the second Adam, okay? That was, and He was the second Adam, okay? He was created without, okay, any sin nature. He had no sin nature. He wasn't created by a man. Okay, who was His father? Come on. God, who was, we know it as what? The Holy Spirit, okay, because there are three personages in the Godhead, okay? And so He became, his male end of Him, okay, was God. So He wasn't born with the nature that came from Adam. You see, when Adam was born, and created by God, he was created perfect. But in the Garden of Eden, what did he do? He ate the tree that he wasn't supposed to eat from, and so he fell. And he became then infested with an old sin nature. Okay? And so every person that is born through Adam, which is us, okay, were born with an old sin nature. Okay? You are born already doomed for hell, okay? Because you are born a sinner, okay? Because the sin nature is passed on by your father, Adam. Adam, 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 Adam. So Jesus had to be born without Adam. Adam had to be eliminated so that the old sin nature was eliminated. And so He was born through the Holy Spirit of God and through Mary, who was a virgin. And so that's how Christ came into existence. Now, He had to live 30 years as a regular human being. Okay? 30 years it took Him to become a full adult human being. Okay? And there's a law in the Torah that said you could not be a priest until you were 30 years old. So He could not become His ministry, okay, could not begin until what? Until He was baptized at the age of 30 years old by John. So that's what this next story is going to talk about, okay, this next part. So at 30 years old, He became a priest. Now, where does He get His priesthood from? Melchizedek, not through the Levites. His is a higher priesthood, okay? Comes through Melchizedek, okay? That's where His priesthood comes from. Now, it said that at age 30, then He was baptized, okay? Now, He lived for exactly 3 years and a half later, okay? That's all He left. When He died 3 and a half years later, He finished with a word. What was the word He finished? The last word He spoke. Finished. It was over with. He had completed His task. He had done what God the Father had sent Him to do, and everything was finished, and so all He had to do then was die. He didn't die because He bled to death on the cross, people. That isn't how He died. He died of His own free will. Okay? It's when you're on the cross, okay? We didn't find this out, by the way, until about World War II. because the Germans put a lot of people on crosses. Okay, the crosses, when you put on the cross, okay, you're put on the cross, and your feet are nailed or on a block, okay? And what kills you is your body is weakened as you bleed. Your body is weakened, and it doesn't have the strength to lift itself up and breathe. You literally die of suffocation. And what does it say at Jesus? It said he slumped and died. He killed himself. I mean, he died of his own free will, and that's what we need to do. He died for you. He died in your place. He did it. Nobody killed him. He did it for you. And you need to understand that, or you won't understand the whole thing about who Christ was and what he did for you. Now, for 3.5 years, his ministry began. You know why? Because the Torah at that time was being read through twice every 7 years. The first 5 books in your Bible was being taught in every synagogue, in the temple, every place. They would read it through once, twice in 7 years. Now, what's half of 7 years? 3.5 years. So Christ's ministry lasted exactly 3.5 years because he was living the Torah, okay? He was living the written Torah, and he was interpreting to you correctly. So his life was interpreting the Torah as it was supposed to be interpreted, not the way the priests were interpreting it, okay? And so his ministry was very, very important. And so we need to know that to understand what Jesus did. Let's go back now and pick up the verses we left out, okay? Verse 6, there came a man sent from God whose name also was John. Who's this? That's John the Baptizer. That's John the Baptist. He came as a witness. His whole life was to do nothing but to witness who Christ was, to testify about the light. Remember what it says? The word was the light. Now, he's not the light. John's not the light. He's talking about the light who is Christ, okay? So that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light which cometh into the world, enlightening every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Okay, that's the Jewish nation. They didn't receive him because he was preaching something that they didn't like. Okay. He was telling them they were doing wrong, and they didn't want to know. They didn't want to know somebody that was telling them you weren't doing right. And so it says he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, those that did, okay, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God. If you believe who Christ is, you know what? You become a child of God. Now, God is eternal. You can't die, okay? So when he gave that light out, he was telling people, if you receive what I'm telling you, then you're going to live forever because he gives eternal life, okay? And you will have and can live with God forever and ever and ever because of Christ. But you have to believe in him. Now, the word believe has a, what are we going to say? A bigger idea, okay, than ours, okay? When you believe, okay, you can't just come to a mental understanding, okay? It means that you believe enough to put your life in his hands. Do you follow that? You have to believe to the point that you're willing to totally trust him and put your life into what he says and who he is. And that's what you do when you receive Christ as your Savior. You have to put your total life in there. Now, we are told, okay, that you receive what? There's a word that is used throughout your Bible, and it's called peace, okay? God gives you his peace. peace. Now the word peace is the Hebrew word shalom. Okay? And the Hebrew word shalom, which is peace, means more than just peace. Okay? It means that it gives you order and direction. So when you receive Christ as your life, okay, he's going to give what? He's going to put order in your life, okay, and he's going to give you a direction in which he wants you to go. The pathway. We just sang a song about that, remember? Okay, the path, that's what he does. He gives you a pathway to go. And he wants you to take that path because that path is the best path that you could ever take. Okay? And so that's what he's telling us here in these words. It said, now, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Now they were there touching Jesus and seeing him. We don't. We can't see him. We can't touch Jesus. Okay? So what do we have to believe in? We have to believe in his name, because his name is who he is. Okay? His name is who he is. And so we are the people he's talking about. Okay? Because we believe then in his name, in who he is, and what he has done, then we can also become children of God, even though he's no longer alive. Okay? Now he is, because he didn't really die, did he? He died temporarily. But then he, what? He rose and is in heaven now making intercession for you and I. When the devil accuses you of doing things you're not supposed to do, he's our advocate. He says, wait a minute. Yeah, I know they shouldn't have done that, but they belong to me and you can't have them. You can't do nothing about it. Okay? So it's pretty neat to know that that's where he's at and what he's doing for us. And so he said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, okay, that's human birth, okay, not of the will of the flesh, okay, nor of the will of man, but of God, okay. When you receive Christ, you are reborn by God. That's the spiritual birth, okay? You have to be born again of the Spirit. And you have to do that by receiving Christ as your Savior. I can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself. You literally have to invite Christ into your life. And if you've personally done that, then he's there. He said, I will live there and I will not forsake you. I will always be there. And so when you die physically, he takes you to heaven, okay? Because he's with you, and that's where he is. And so he'll take you to heaven too, where he is, okay? Now, is there anyone here today who has not received Christ as your Savior? Don't leave today until you have, if you haven't. It's very, very simple to do. As Brother Lanny says, I am not the one that does it, but I know somebody that can, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is admit that you are a sinner and that you need him as a Savior, and he will come into your heart and live there forever and ever and ever and ever, ever. He will never, never forsake you, okay? So I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now, okay? I'm going to bow. I want you to bow too, and if you want to receive Christ as your Savior, then all you have to do is ask him to come in, to admit that you're a sinner, and ask him to come in, and he will. So let's say that prayer right now together. Oh, gracious and loving Father, we thank you for the book of John. It tells us how we can receive Christ as our Savior. We ask that anyone here today who has not received you as their Savior would just simply say these words, Lord, I know that I need you because I am a sinner. I pray that you will come into my heart and give me eternal life, which you have promised. I ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, then Jesus now lives in your heart. You are destined for heaven, okay? Because he will never, never forsake you. Okay. So. the band is going to give us an invitation, and doing that, maybe you're here for another reason. Maybe you need to join the church. Maybe you're